Chapter 47 Discipline and Breakdown. All of Chotan's remaining personal guards followed the anxious, long-striding king out of the Hall of Three Moons. He hummed a catchy tune and danced about in an air of jubilee, oblivious to the sombre mood of the train behind him. Jen walked behind the Shalane, proud to see her unwilted, shoulders up and head high, walking slowly as if to show she were the queen, to lay claim to what power and dignity were hers by title. Jen thanked Eldaloth that he could at least cast the ward upon her, though he doubted Chotan would hurt her, at least not until the child was born. The temporary relief that the infusion of power had given him was nearly spent, the fever rising and aches returning. He surveyed the situation quickly, noting the seven guards around him. Killing them would be difficult in his condition, but in the surprise he thought he could cut down at least half before they managed any kind of defence. He could take the Shalane and run. But her resolution and determined walk, her dedication to duty, put these thoughts out of his mind as he opened his heart and let an unspeakable loss enter in. He watched her only, trying to capture her as she was, pure, innocent and beautiful, imagining her as he saw her in the canyon, unveiled and happy. As they approached the building outfitted as a wedding chamber, he felt he should bid her farewell, for the woman he knew would change, would enter that room and emerge a new creature. He hoped she would find the strange strength of the truly great, who grow even more beautiful in a poor spot of ground. Leaning forward, he put his hand on her shoulder and whispered in her ear, "Do not let him change you." She did not acknowledge the comment, and Jen did not press to talk with her further. She kept silent and dignified, disappearing into the firefly-lit building as Chotan held the improvised curtain over the door aside.
"Gentlemen," he said, smiling grandly, "I want Captain Drockley, Dacen, and Jen by the door. The rest of you fan out around the building. Captain Drockley, should Jen make a move to enter, kill him immediately." "Well, I'd best not keep the lady waiting."
After Chotan entered, Jen crouched and ran his fingers through his hair, wishing he was anywhere else. The fever returned full force, sweat running down his face despite the cool breeze. He felt unsteady and in pain, but his thoughts centred on the Shalane and on the brand that linked her to him. An exclamation of surprise and delight signalled that Chotan at last had laid eyes on his unveiled bride. From that point on, Jen did what he could to disconnect himself from everything, trying to drown himself in his own pain, his own sorrow, and his own discomfort. He tried to forget the Shalane, throwing his memory back as far as he could, to times when he did not know her heart or her face, when she was someone distant and inconceivable. But her pain, her sorrow, and her discomfort drew him back like a lodestone that would not let him or his thoughts escape from Elder Luri Mora. Drawing his knife from his boot, he rolled up his sleeve and cut shallow incisions in the underside of his arm, trying desperately to distract himself from the Shalane's agony. But Torbrand Cairn had trained him too well. His mind effortlessly and unconsciously pushed aside every pain he felt. Every pain but hers.
"What are you doing?"
Dacen hissed, and in a heartbeat, Jen found himself hauled up, pinned to the building wall, Dacen's forearm in his chest and face close. Captain Drockley watched the entire affair, face bemused and mocking. Jen hadn't the will to resist as Dacen stripped him of the bloody knife and threw it to the ground. Dacen's sympathetic eyes bored into his.
"Listen to me, Jen, listen,"
Dacen whispered fiercely.
"I don't like it any more than you do, but you are important now. I didn't like losing the protectorship, but you did the right thing that night and I did not. The First Mother did the right thing too. You are the better man, Jen. That you feel for her so now does you credit, but harm yourself no more."
Dacen suffered too, and for all the distance between them, Jen found comfort in a companion who sorrowed with him. Somewhere Jaren experienced the same. They three were the solemn, personal witnesses to the beginnings of the incarnation, and the shame and condescension that it necessitated. Jen nodded his understanding to Dayson, and Dayson released him, returning to his post. Jen retrieved his bloody knife from the ground, cleaning it on his pants before returning it to his boot. Seeking discipline, he stood straight and attuned his senses to the night.
"Unbelievable, gentlemen," Chotin announced as he emerged from the tent some time later, arms above his head in a gesture of victory. "I truly feel sorry for you all. For me to have such beauty in my possession is an undeniable sign of favour from Eldaroth. Well, I won't make you all jealous with the particulars. There are many tidbits of business I must attend to in the hall. Jen, bring the Shalane when she is ready. Dayson and Captain Drockley, come with me."
Chotin waddled off, tucking his shirt back into his pants, Dayson in tow. Jen took up position at the threshold of the door, standing with his hands clasped behind him and the curtain at his back. The Shalane stirred inside, and after a moment her footsteps approached and he reached out to move the curtain aside for her.
"Keep it closed, Jen. I'm not ready to leave yet."
Her voice was resigned but firm.
"Guardsman?"
An Ogmerian guard emerged from the shadows.
"Yes, my lady."
"You and your men will leave and return to Lord Cairn. Inform him I shall come within the hour."
"As you wish."
In moments the guards trailed off into the darkness toward the Hall of Three Moons.
"How do you feel, Jen?"
the Shalane asked quietly.
"I should ask you, Lady Cairn."
Hearing her title momentarily silenced her.
"Put your hand inside the curtain."
"I am well, milady. There is no need."
"Do as I say, Jen. Please, I am your queen now, and you are honour-bound to obey me."
Jen acquiesced, leaning against the entryway and putting his arm behind the curtain.
"Your sleeve is soaked with blood. What have you done to yourself?"
The Shalane took his hand, and the pain ignored in the back of his mind faded, and the sickness Elder Luimora put within him ceased. He didn't answer the question, and he waited as the Shalane undid his sleeve and inspected his arm. Only dried blood remained after the healing.
"How do you tell the fireflies to leave?"
the Shalane asked, still holding his hand.
"I want it dark."
"Emabry,"
Jen commanded. A stream of glowing insects flew under the curtain and away into the woods and buildings. The Shalane held his hand in silence for the better part of an hour. Jen used the gift of a clear mind and strong body to reach within himself and work Triss magic to protect himself against transmutation. He expected the effort to drain him, but when he finished, he felt undiminished in his power, crediting it to the strength he felt as the Shalane suppressed the sickness.
"What will you do, Jen?"
the Shalane asked.
"Do about what?"
"Chotin is going to dismiss you or kill you. I know you know it."
"He hasn't the power to do either,"
Jen stated firmly.
"I can kill his entire guard, and I don't believe the Rugothians will move against me, though bound to obey him."
"It isn't as simple as that, Jen. He will hurt those around you to manipulate you into doing what he wants. You need to leave to protect them."
Jen shook his head.
"No, Lady Cairn, I will not abandon you. I will not tuck my tail and crawl out of Elder Lurimora like a coward."
The Shalane squeezed his hand.
"I command you to go, Jen. I am your queen, and you were sworn to obey me even before I bore the title. Leave me now. Flee into the wilderness and hide."
"No."
"This is treason,"
the Shalane accused him, anger rising. Jen laughed quietly to himself.
"Excellent, milady," he returned. "You and Lord Cairn at last agree on something. It is good to start your marriage on common ground."
The Shalane released his hand and punched him in the back.
"You listen to me, you bastard,"
she ordered, voice desperate.
"You will go."
"Learned a few words from your mother, did you?" Jen replied flatly, noticing someone approaching from the dark. "Coincidentally, she is coming. Perhaps she can teach you some better curses. People have called me bastard my entire life, and I no longer feel the sting of it." Jen concentrated on blocking the pain that the loss of the Shalane's touch brought upon him. Merel came quickly, half jogging. Cadean followed behind, but as they reached the door, she commanded her faithful guard to find Jaren and Maywan. Jen thought Merel's face the most enraged he'd ever seen it, including the night she reprimanded him for his venture with the half-elf ranger.
"Let me by, Jen," she ordered.
She entered, and Jen strained to hear what she told her daughter. They conversed in whispers,
and he could only make out the Shalane's horrified reactions to what her mother told her. After Mirel left, commanding him to keep the Shalane there until she returned, the new queen sobbed for several minutes, desperately trying to do so silently before collecting herself. "Give me your hand, Jen," she commanded again, and her tone induced him to obey without putting up a fight. She brought it to her cheek. "Oh, Jen, I'm so sorry. It would have been better that Torbrand Cairn killed you than you ever fell into my company. I will hate Shertan forever. I will hate him."
"What, Shalane?" Jen asked, heart sinking. "What has he done?"
"You will find out soon enough. But I must tell you something. You have to know the truth. I know who you are, Jen, and what you are."
"And who am I?"
"The Ilk, Jen. That is why this place hurts you so. Do not startle. Those who turned you from that path revealed it to me. The Ilk is dead as far as I am concerned. I have told no one else. But there is more. I have not been as truthful with you or as just as I should have been. I have not shouldered what blame is mine.
When we were—" "Your conduct has been impeccable as always, Your Grace," Jen interrupted. "You have nothing to explain and no blame in anything, especially when it concerns me. I was at fault and faltered in my duty. It will not happen again."
"No, let me speak, Jen, and do not interrupt."
Jen turned toward the curtain. "We have no time for this, milady. You must tell me what has happened so I can be prepared. Is Fenna all right?"
"She is safe. That's all I have the heart to say."
An unreasoning fear for Fenna choked his heart. Ignorance of her fate stirring his imagination. Every scenario he could think of sparked rage within him, and he fought to control the impulses that called for violence. Mirel's return distracted him from his thoughts.
"Already your mother returns," he said, "with Jaren and Maywen now."
As the trio approached, Jen worked Triss magic to protect them all, each showing momentary surprise at the sensation the protective transmutation caused. Casting the protections did not weary him this time, and he hoped his ability to use Triss magic was increasing already. The Shalane released his hand as Mirel stopped in front of him, Jaren and Maywen on either side. "I suppose," Jen began, fighting the resurgent pain, "that you are here to convince me to leave. Your daughter already tried, and you will not succeed where she has failed."
Mirel said, "She is more than my daughter or the Shalane now, Jen. She is your queen and mine. You swore to obey her. You swore it, and it is your duty to obey."
Jen clenched his fists.
"He's made her one of his concubines, hasn't he? He's made Fenna one of his harem." "No, it's not that, Jen," Mirel soothed. "You must leave before you are killed."
"I won't leave. I swore to protect the Shalane, and I will not leave her no matter what anyone says, even her. Anyone who wants my post will have to take it from me, and I'm not easily moved."
Mirel stared at him earnestly for a moment, and then stepped toward him abruptly.
Jen noticed her intake of breath, remembering how the Shalane had forced him to sleep. He stepped aside quickly to avoid Mirel's spell. Jaren reached out and clamped his arms around Jen's shoulders, but with some well-placed elbows and boot heels, Jen managed to slip free and out of the circle they formed around him. The Shalane, wearing her black travelling dress and veil, stepped out from behind the curtain.
"Jen, you must go," the Shalane begged. "He will take everything from you and kill you. Please, run. Stay alive, for me if for no one else."
"What has he done to Fenna?" Jen asked. "What has he done?"
"She is in no danger, Jen," Mirel assured him. "But you are. You have an important work to do still. Do not throw it away for some useless show of pride and bravado."
"It is not pride. It is not bravado," Jen argued forcefully. "It is honour. It is duty. You say Shatan has taken everything, and if I run away, then he will have taken those too. If I die, I die. Were there not 100 for fodder before, and will there not be 1,000 after?"
The Shalane bowed her head at these familiar words. Jen regarded them all, eyes challenging.
"I'm going to the Hall of Three Moons to hear what Shatan has to say. Come with me if you will."
Jen turned and strode away, aware of the sounds of Maywen unlimbering her bow. He turned in time to see her loose an arrow aimed for his legs, and he dodged it with effort.
"Have you gone mad?" he yelled at her in Elvish. "You know this bitter fruit comes from the tree I planted. It is mine to eat. That is what Samian told you once.
He would understand what I have to do now. He would have done the same thing.
Maywin's face registered shock, and she lowered her bow. Nothing Mirel could say could induce her to take it up again. By the time he reached the Hall of Three Moons, Jen glanced back to see the Shalane leading a dispirited retinue behind her. While touched by their concern for him, he could not bend to their wishes and let Shatan have the satisfaction of scaring him off. Jen stopped to allow the Shalane inside first, the rest following behind. Both Mirel and Maywin were grim and pale. Mirel regarded him sadly, touching his shoulder as she passed.
"Who are you?" Maywin asked, stopping next to him.
"There is a lot to tell, and I may not be granted enough breath to tell it. But how could you have known my father?"
"Is that Jen, my queen?" Shatan boomed, halting Maywin's inquiry. "Let him approach."
Jen turned to where Shatan stood in front of the thrones, hands on hips and bulbous lips turned up in a confident sneer. The pontiff reclined on a litter nearby, Aethon still attending him. All eyes fixed on Jen, as the crowd of soldiers split for the Shalane, who crossed the distance to stand by her husband. She said something to him, but he ignored it. Dacen, who moved to stand behind the Shalane with Jaren, was visibly disturbed. Fenner he could find nowhere. Jen walked forward casually, Shatan ordering him to stop halfway.
"That is close enough, Jen. Hear what I have to say. As you have shown quite consistently, you have no fear or respect for my person, my wishes, or my commands. You have crossed me so many times in the last year that I cannot, with a view toward my own safety and the benefit of this world, let you continue on as you are. Your actions are against faith and against the code of law that outlines obedience to one's superiors. But I will not trifle with you. I have earlier stripped you of the rank most undeservedly given you by the former First Mother of Rugoth. You are again the commoner you were, where you should have stayed. Having recently been appointed the pontiff of the church, it is also in my power to excommunicate you from the church and seal damnation on you, which I also did previously."
Jen reeled. Shatan named pontiff? Had Belliamus been coerced, or had old age finally stripped him of reason?
"Now, Jen," Shatan continued, "you are sentenced to death for your crimes. I cannot have you dogging my every step while I try to unite the world and lead them to battle. I think you can understand this. But to show you I am not a vengeful man, I want you to know that I have cared for those you love best. I will return Dacen to his post as Lady Cairn's protector in your absence, a man whom the Shalane prefers for his refinements. Jaren will remain in her service for the time being. Mirel will replace Fenner as Lady Cairn's handmaiden. I know Mirel likes me not, but it is always good to have your enemies nearby. Let's see. Have I forgotten anyone?"
"Oh, yes, Miss Fairdale. You will be gratified to know that I have seen to her care as well. I know you intended to wed her, but your station and impending execution will intrude upon those plans. I know she was fond of Jeff, so as my first act as pontiff and high king, I wed them. By my order, they are now, no doubt, enjoying the same bliss as I did this evening, though I believe I had the sweeter portion."
Jen felt sickness compound upon sickness, his stomach a stone. His anger and shame cut through his pain, clearing a fogged mind. He knew what he had to do. He had to trust the prophecy, had to trust that the child was indeed conceived under the light of Triss by the one intended for that purpose. But he would not tolerate Shatan any longer. He had already hurt everyone Jen loved, and would hurt countless others if permitted to live.
"And now to the matter of your death," Shatan continued.
"Yes, Shatan." Jen started walking forward slowly.
"Who here do you think can kill me?"
Captain Drockley and Shatan's six remaining personal guards eyed Jen warily, drawing swords and fanning out before their king, Captain Drockley in the lead. Jen considered killing the Blessed One with a simple spell, but he thought better of it, fearing exhaustion and exposure. A quick flick of the blade would do just as well.
"No, no, no," Shatan laughed whimsically as Jen advanced. "Let him approach. I expected this."
Jen drew his sword and continued forward as Shatan's guard parted.
"Behold the power of the Howric!"
Chatan yelled, and with a great display he stretched forth his hands.
"We shall turn him to wood to match his personality."
As he crossed the intervening distance, Jen felt the transmuting power wash over him, as Chatan's eyes narrowed and teeth gritted in concentration. The protection Jen had cast upon himself was more than equal to the challenge. Chatan's face drained of blood and he concentrated again, closing his eyes and breathing heavily. Jen sensed Chatan frantically trying to break down the transmuting ward, but the attempt was feeble, even pathetically so.
"Someone has protected him!"
Chatan shrieked, spent, sweating and scared.
"Kill him! Kill him!"
Jen started into a dead run toward Chatan as the Howulric's guard formed a protective wall in front of him. Blade whistling, Jen didn't even slow as he cut through the centre of the defence easily, sending Captain Drockley and one of his soldiers to their doom. Chatan turned to run as Jen closed upon him, unheeding of the Howulric's whining entreaties for him to spare his life. Jen was resolved. Chatan tripped and fell before the thrones, bringing up his hand to fend off the blow. Jen raised his sword to strike. An enormous thunderclap split the air, and Jen felt something slam into his side, picking him up and throwing him halfway across the enormous room. He hit the stones hard and skidded through the blossoms on the floor until the short wall beneath the raised seating stopped his slide. Scraped and bruised, Jen tried to lift himself, but some unseen power pinned him down. Although his vision swam, he could see the former pontiff struggling from his litter with the help of Aethon.
"Kill him now!" Chatan bellowed. "He is defenseless!"
Jen blinked his eyes to clear his vision. Chatan's four remaining guards jogged toward him. Jen fought desperately to move, but could not. Focusing on his executioners, he prepared a spell, but as he watched, an arrow caught the lead soldier in the throat, killing him instantly. Maywen knocked her bow again as she ran to Jen's side, and the advance stopped. The remaining soldiers turned to King Cairn, who had soiled his pants but regained his feet by the thrones.
"Call them back, Chatan," Maywen shouted. "I can kill them all before they get within 10 paces of me."
"I command you to stand down, Maywen," Chatan ordered. "He is sentenced to die according to the laws of my people."
"I am not yours to command, leader of men. I am Maywen the half-elf, who by wish of father and mother was bound to the will and way of the elves. I give Jen asylum under the name of Tumereth Sarainan, leader of my tribe since before the Shattering. He will only be delivered from asylum by Tumereth's will, for which I act in proxy. Tell your men to stand down, or you will find yourself walking home with only angry Rugothians for company, if they'll have you."
For the first time, Jen thought he saw an expression on Chatan's face that indicated he understood that he had gravely miscalculated a situation.
"Guards, return to me!"
Chatan's manner and expression turned from argumentative to ingratiating.
"Will you guide us, Maywen, to return me home? If you love any of these people, you must help us, for none knows the way."
"Help them, Maywen,"
Jen pleaded with her in Elvish.
"Will the pontiff release you?" she asked. "I do not know, but if I escape, I will shadow your camp."
Maywen looked at the Aethon and the pontiff for a moment.
"I had hoped to take you to Elfholm after unification, a place where you could rest. I have many questions to ask you. The affairs of this human are offensive to me, and I fear I will not be able to abide him."
"Do it for the Shalane. She must be protected."
"Yes.
You see your folly now. The Shalane must be protected, but leaving you behind goes contrary to what wisdom I have."
Maywen turned back to Chatan.
"I will go on the condition that Jen is left unharmed and released."
Chatan raised his hands in a placating gesture.
"I cannot speak for the former pontiff in the matter of his release, but I will not seek his death unless he is caught near my person."
The old pontiff, who had returned to his litter, whispered to the attending Aethon, who spoke for him.
"The former pontiff will remain here with Jen when the company leaves, and will only release him once and if his conditions are met. He would prefer that the entire company leave the hall immediately, after which I am to seal it against exit and entry."
"I cannot," Maywen protested.
"No,
"That is good enough, Maywin," Jen interrupted. "Accept it. Get them safely home. I will come when I can."
Maywin frowned, expressing her displeasure to him in Elvish before speaking to Shatan again.
"Very well. I agree to these terms."
"Thank you, Maywin,"
Shatan said, face relieved.
"I order everyone from the hall save the former pontiff."
One by one, those in the ragged assembly gathered their gear and filed out of the door. Everyone glanced at him before leaving, some in anger, some in pity. The Shalane and Mirel left slowly, heads bent together in conversation. Soon only Maywin remained at his side. After searching the ground near where he lay and retrieving something from it that he could not see, she gathered her gear and knelt by him.
"Is there anything you would wish me to relay to your friends? Just my regret. They were right. I should have left."
Jen felt drained of will and energy. His actions seemed like those of a madman.
"And thank you, Maywin, for keeping me alive. You have too much to answer for yet for me to let you die. I hope we meet again. There is one thing I want you to get for me," he said. "In my coat pocket there are 3 stone necklaces. Tell the Shalane to wear them. They will help her. Tell her to keep them secret, especially from the Ogmerians."
Maywin retrieved them as Padre Aethon and the old pontiff watched from the dais. Once she had secured them in a leather pouch, she loped off through the doorway and into the night. Jen watched as the Aethon said his farewells to the pontiff, warded the only exit and left. Giving up his struggle against the spell trapping him to the floor, he relaxed, and wondered what the world would be like if he were ever able to escape.